Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do want to thank you this morning for Christian mothers. For many of us, our moms were the first ones that told us about Jesus and modeled the biblical principles for us. We thank you, Lord, for godly mothers that helped to try to get us on the right path and prayed for us when we went astray. I pray that as your word goes out, Lord, it would be a blessing to the moms and to everybody else here this morning. Amen. Let's start off this morning by telling you something that some of you already know this, but it's as far back as I can remember, and that's pretty far now. I have loved, absolutely loved action movies. I remember being about 4 or 5 years old. That's back when you had, you know, the antenna on the roof with like 3 TV channels. And on Friday and Saturday night after the 10 o'clock news got over, they'd put on a late show, right? And then after that, they'd play the Star Spangled Banner and the TV would just go off. So 4 or 5 years old, I remember one night my dad said, "Hey, there's a movie coming on tonight. You can stay and watch it with me. It's called Dirty Harry." And I'm going to tell you, from that time on, I was hooked, man, on action movies. And that hasn't changed. My wife and I have been married for well over 26 years now. And this is funny. You're going to laugh, but this is the truth. Not one time in 26 years have I ever taken her to a movie that didn't either have Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone in it. That's true, ain't it? Come on, you're supposed to agree with me. You're making me look bad. Well, I don't remember what that movie was. Therefore, I wasn't there. All right. So you get the point, right? I'm a action guy. This is what I like. And this carries over into my Bible reading. And this is one of the many reasons that I love the Gospels about Jesus. Man, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Jesus was a man of action. He didn't mess around. He went around doing good. He went around healing people, fixing their problems. He is, without a doubt, the greatest action hero of all time. But see, the difference is everything he did is real. It's not something that was just made up in Hollywood. Now, I've mentioned several times from this very pulpit that when it comes to Old Testament reading, hands down, my favorite book is Judges, the book of Judges. And fellas, if you like action, read the book of Judges. You will not be able to put it down. During this time in Israel's history, God would raise up men and sometimes women who acted with incredible courage against impossible odds to deliver the Israelites, God's chosen people, from their enemies. And while these kind of stories, they appeal to most guys, most women, I get it, there's exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, women tend to like love stories a little more than all the shoot 'em up stuff. That's pretty much the way it works in my house. In my house in the evening, when the boys finally go to bed and things are getting kind of quiet, yeah, I'm you know, reading an article in some gun magazine or watching some movie on TV with a bunch of gunfights and car chases in it. And Sheila's quietly sitting over in her chair on the couch reading some romance novel. All right. Now, you might be surprised to find out that during this time of the judges, in the middle of all of this violence and war and bloodshed, the Bible gives us one of the most beautiful love stories ever written. And in honor of Mother's Day today, ladies, for those of you that like love stories, you're going to like this. Ain't no car chases or shoot 'em up. Sorry, fellas, but it's a pretty good story nonetheless. The title of our message this morning is Ruth, a tale of love and redemption. We begin in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Here's what we read. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and 2 sons, they went to live for a while in the land of Moab. Now, Moab was enemy territory. A bunch of false god worshipers over there. But this is where this Israelite man took his wife and his two sons because there was a famine in Israel, more specifically in Bethlehem where they lived. Now, this guy's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And in the course of time, old Elimelech, he died. So now you have this poor lady, Naomi. She has just become a widow. She has two sons to raise, and she's in a foreign country. Let that soak in for a minute. She was in a very difficult situation. Well, she got her boys raised, and when they grew up, they still lived in Moab. So guess what kind of women they married? Moabite women. Now, this is a problem, because according to Jewish law, Israelite men were not supposed to marry foreign women. It wasn't a racial thing. Don't get all hung up on that. Here was the problem. These foreign women were from countries that worshiped false gods. This is why God gave the warning. You guys don't marry nobody but Israelite women, because these foreign women will lead you astray. However, these guys married foreign women. Don't worry. Even in this, God is going to have no problem at all carrying out his plan. Now, after Naomi's sons got married, they all continued to live there in Moab for about 10 more years. And then both of her sons died. Put yourself in this lady's position for a minute. There's a famine in your home country. You got to leave the land and the people that you love. You go to a foreign country. They worship false gods. Your husband dies. You raise your boys all by yourself, and then they die. So now here she is. No kids, no husband, brokenhearted, broken spirit. It was just about this time that she hears that the famine back home in Israel is over. So she tells her two daughters-in-law, hey, I'm packing my stuff. I'm getting out of Moab. I'm going back home. Well, the daughters-in-law, they start packing up as well. They say, well, we're gonna come with you. She says, well, that doesn't make any sense at all that you should come with me. There's nothing for you where I'm going. Your families are here. The gods that you worship are here. Even if I were to get married and have two more sons tonight, would you be able to wait until those boys were grown up so you could marry them? No, of course not. Go back to your own families. Well, the one daughter-in-law, whose name was Orpah, she said, you know, you're probably right, so let me give you a hug and I'm going to go. Well, the other daughter-in-law was Ruth. And Naomi tells her, hey, look, your sister-in-law is, you know, going back home. Quit walking towards Bethlehem with me. There's nothing there for you. Listen to what Ruth says. I will go where you go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I'm going to die where you die. I'll be buried where you're buried. Nothing is going to separate us. I'm staying with you. And when Naomi saw how determined Ruth was to stick by her, she quit trying to talk her into leaving. These two women continued to travel day after day. Finally, they make it back to the town of Bethlehem. And when the ladies in town saw Naomi coming up the road, they recognized her right away. I mean, it had been years, but they knew right who she was, and they could hardly believe it. They didn't know Ruth, but they definitely knew Naomi, and they ran out there and, oh, Naomi, is that really you? Oh, it's so good to see you. How are you? She wasn't the same woman she was when she left. She had lost so much. And she told them all about what had happened to her husband and to her two sons. But she also told them about her daughter-in-law and how faithful she had been through the whole thing. Now, as we begin chapter 2, we're told that they're in Bethlehem. It was the season of the barley harvest, but more importantly, we're told we see another main player in this story. Naomi had a relative on her dead husband's side, Elimelech's relative. This man's name was Boaz. He was a well-known and respected man in Bethlehem. He was well-established in the community. He owned a great deal of farmland, and that's going to have a pretty big impact on the story in just a few minutes. So as they arrive in Bethlehem, as I was saying, the barley harvest is just about to begin. Now, they just got to town. They didn't have jobs. They didn't have money. They didn't have any food. So Ruth says to her mother-in-law, listen, I'm going out to these barley fields, and I will follow along behind these people that are harvesting the grain. And whatever they drop on the ground or whatever they miss, I'll just grab that and throw it in a basket and see if I can get us enough food to survive on. And maybe I'll even find favor in one of these landowners' eyes and he won't run me off for picking up the leftovers off the ground. So she went out and did that. Question, whose field do you think she ended up in? That's right. Verse 3 says, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the man who was related to Naomi's dead husband. Now, Ruth didn't go there on purpose because she knew that. She didn't know Boaz even existed. And she had no idea whose field she was in, but God knew. And he put her right where he wanted her to be. Now, later that same day, old Boaz, he shows up to check on how things are going with the harvest. And he's talking to his foreman, and he sees this young lady out there following behind. He goes, hey, who's that young lady out there? And the foreman says, oh, that's Naomi's daughter, or daughter-in-law. She came back with her from Moab, and she asked me this morning if it would be okay if she followed behind the harvesters and picked up the stuff that just fell on the ground. And, you know, Boaz, I know you're a generous guy. You wouldn't really care, so I told her that's fine. And he said, you know, she's really a hard worker, too. She's only taken one little short break today. She's been out there, you know, man, really working hard. Well, Boaz hears all this. He's pretty impressed that a young woman would be this responsible and this hardworking and this faithful to her mother-in-law. So he goes out and he strikes up a conversation with her. Now, you can tell by the way he addresses her, he is definitely a much older man. Listen to what he says. My daughter, listen to me. Don't go out and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are working and follow along after the girls. I've told my men not to touch you. And whenever you're thirsty, go get a drink from the water jars that they have filled. Now, I'm sure Ruth sees this old guy come marching across the field. At first, she probably thought she was going to get yelled at and told to get out of there. So she's really surprised that he's so nice to her. She hears what he says, and then she asks a question. Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner? See, she knows that the Israelites don't normally associate with people from other countries. So she's like, why? How come you're being so nice to me? And Boaz tells her, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your own husband, how you left your own mother, you left your own father and your own land to come here and live with the people that you didn't even know. And then he blesses her. He says, may the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So he's being nice to her because instead of staying in her homeland that she knew since she was born and getting remarried, she stuck by her mother-in-law, helped her get back home, and now she's out there working in the field so her mother-in-law will have food to eat and can be taken care of. Now, Ruth works out there all the rest of the morning. At lunchtime, Boaz calls her over and says, hey, come eat with me. They talk a little while, and then she gets up and goes and works in the fields. Boaz calls all of his men over. Listen to what he says. I want you to be nice to this girl. When you guys are out there harvesting, pull a few stalks out of them bundles you're gathering up and just, you know, kind of conveniently drop them. And that way she'll get even more food to take care of herself and her mother-in-law. And don't you dare do anything that would embarrass her or hurt her feelings. The guys all said, okay, we got it, boss. Nobody hassled her at all. They did exactly what Boaz said. At sundown, she goes back with a pretty large amount of food. She still got food left over from lunch plus all this grain. Naomi says, how in the world did you get so much just from one day? And Ruth says, well, you know, you just wouldn't believe it. I just went out in a field and started working, and I met the nicest guy, and he was just really good to me, and he gave me lunch, and his name is Boaz. Naomi hears that name. She knows exactly who the guy is. She says, oh, may the Lord bless him. He's a close relative of my dead husband. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Now, you may be wondering, what is a kinsman redeemer? Well, I'm going to tell you. When God gave Moses all of the laws and rules and regulations that the Israelites were supposed to live by, in Leviticus chapter 25, he gives the law of the kinsman redeemer. Here's what the law states. If an Israelite is forced to sell off some family property, some land, to pay off a debt, another close relative of this person has the right, the legal right, to buy that land right back and redeem it for the original family. If an Israelite becomes so hard up that he has no choice but to sell himself as a slave, the kinsman redeemer is a close relative who reserves the right to purchase that relative's freedom and set him free from the debt that he is under. In the same way, if a man dies, a kinsman redeemer, a close relative, he can come along and marry that widow. And then the first child that that woman has will be attributed to the dead husband. That way his family name, his family line doesn't die out. So this is the law of the kinsman redeemer. And this is what Boaz was for that family. Now she continued to work in the fields, Ruth did every day. And every night she'd bring home everything she harvested. She'd give it to Naomi. And one day Naomi said, come here, Ruth, we need to have a conversation. Now, you've been real good to me, but let's face facts. I'm an old woman now. I'm not going to be around forever. And after I'm gone, I want to make sure that you have a husband who will protect you and who will provide for you and that you'll have a home where you can always live. So listen to what I tell you, and you go do what I say. Tonight, Boaz is going to be out there threshing barley. You go get cleaned up. I want you to put on your best clothes. You get your hair done. Get your makeup on. Put on a little perfume. And tonight, after he has eaten and had a little bit to drink, after working all day, he's going to lay down. You go over there to where he lays down, and you uncover his feet, and you lay down next to him. He will understand exactly what that means. And then he'll tell you what to do. Okay. Boaz might understand exactly what that means if she uncovers his feet. 25 years ago when I read that for the first time, I had no idea what that was about. So what does it mean? First of all, let me tell you this. Ruth is not doing anything even remotely immoral here. This is all part of the Jewish custom regarding the law of the kinsman redeemer. By lying down next to Boaz and uncovering his feet, she's telling Boaz, I recognize that you are the kinsman redeemer for this family. And she's also telling him that she wants him to redeem her and take her as his wife. So she goes out there. She does exactly what Naomi, her mother-in-law, told her. In the middle of the night, Boaz wakes up. He can feel there's a woman laying next to him, and his feet are getting cold probably because they're uncovered. And he says, who are you? He couldn't see because there's no street lights out in the middle of a field in Old Testament Bethlehem. This is farming and sheep country, okay? She says, it's me, Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me since you are a kinsman redeemer. She's telling him now. I want you to be my husband. I want you to take me as your wife. Now, look, Boaz, he gets the message loud and clear. The truth is, he's been attracted to her ever since the first time he saw her. As they talk day after day, he is falling deeper in love with her, but he's like, She's young and beautiful. I'm an old wrinkly guy. Probably not a whole lot going to happen here. But then she is the one who approaches him to get married. Listen to what he says. He says, "You're showing me an even greater kindness now than you showed to your mother-in-law at first. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. Don't be afraid. I'll do all you ask." Let's pause there for just a minute. Instead of running after the young, good-looking, hair-gelling guys with the washboard abs that don't have jobs, here's what she did. She knew that Boaz would be able to provide. She also knew he was a good man. She didn't just go after physical attraction. She followed the advice of her mother-in-law, who was older and wiser than she was. Boaz was the right choice for her. We're going to see proof of that here in just a minute. He says, "Don't be afraid, I'll do all you ask. Everyone in town knows that you're a woman of noble character. And although it is true that I am a kinsman redeemer," get ready now, unexpected twist. "There is another man in Bethlehem who is a closer relative than I am, and he has the first right to redeem you. But if he refuses, I will marry you just as surely as the Lord lives." Now, Ruth stayed there until morning, and then Boaz says, "Look, I don't want nobody to see you. We're out here. We know nothing happened, but you know how people talk. So take some food and you go about your business, and I'll be in touch." So Ruth goes home, tells Naomi everything. Listen to Naomi. She is truly a wise woman. She knows what's going on. She says, "Oh, don't worry. I know Boaz, and he is not going to rest until he gets this matter settled today." And as we begin chapter 4, old Boaz, he shows up at the city gate. This is important. This is where the men conducted their business. The city gate is like the Old Testament courthouse. This is where judges gathered and would render their decisions. This is where men conducted their business deals. So Boaz shows up at the city gate. He sees the guy he's looking for. Then he calls 10 elders of the town of Bethlehem. He says, "Hey, I'm getting ready to conduct some official business. You fellas come with me, all 10 of you. You're going to be my witnesses." He goes over to this man who is obviously his relative. And he says, "Hey, brother, let me talk to you for a minute. You probably heard that Elimelech, our dead relative, his wife is back in Bethlehem. She got her daughter-in-law with her. She got a piece of property that she's trying to sell. Now, you're first in line to redeem this property. If you want it, let me know. Go ahead and redeem it. But if not, then I'm going to redeem it." And the other man says, "Yeah, I believe I will redeem that land." And Boaz says, "Oh, okay. Hey, have a good day. There's one more thing. If you redeem that land, you also have to take her daughter-in-law to be your wife. See, this is a package deal." And the other man says, well, on second thought, I got enough land already, and I definitely don't need no more wives. So you go ahead and redeem the land and the woman, and you got my blessing." Chapter 4, verse 13. Boaz does, in fact, take Ruth to be his wife. And in the course of time, she became pregnant. She gave birth to a beautiful little baby boy, and they named him Obed. Now, when Obed grew up, he got married, and he became the father of a little son named Jesse. Jesse grows up, gets married. He has a little son named David. This same David grew up to be the greatest king the nation of Israel has ever known. And not only that, we know from his genealogy, he is also a blood ancestor of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this began with a foreign woman who loved her mother-in-law and was so devoted to her, she refused to leave her side no matter how bad things got. And because she was such a blessing to her mother-in-law, God blessed her. This foreign woman became the great-grandmother of King David. And she is in the family bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are saying, wow, that's really a nice story. I learned a few things today. But what's that got to do with me sitting here today? How are you going to make an application now, preacher? What good does this story do me? Here it comes. Friends, the Jewish law of the kinsman redeemer allowed a man to redeem property or even the life of someone he loved. He had the right to pay the debt for someone he loved that they could not pay to set themselves free. This is exactly what Jesus has done for us. Our sins separated us from God. Because of that, we owed a debt that we could never, ever pay. But the Lord Jesus paid that debt by giving his life on the cross. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He purchased our salvation, he set us free, and he gave us eternal life. Now, friend, if you're sitting in here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you ain't nothing but a slave with no hope at all of ever paying off that debt you owe. You ain't never going to be free unless you pray to receive Jesus as your Savior. If you want freedom, you want to be redeemed, all you got to do is recognize the fact you're a sinner who needs a Savior. Ask God to forgive your sins. Tell him you want to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and receive him as your Savior. If you do that, God will hear and answer your prayer. He will redeem you. He will wash away your sins forever. He will receive you as his child and give you eternal life. Don't walk out of here today without assurance about where you're going to spend eternity. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for giving us this great, great story in your holy word about Ruth. And Lord, what makes it even more marvelous is that every word in the Bible is 100% truth. And Lord, thank you that her life story and the way she was redeemed by Boaz is an illustration of how we can also be redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray your blessing again upon all the Christian moms in here today. I pray that their day would go very well. Lord, if there's some here that maybe haven't spoken to their moms for a while, for whatever the reason may be, I pray that you would soften some hearts today. Let some phone calls be made. Let some visits be made. Bring some restoration, Lord. Bring some reconciliation where we need to have that. Bless everybody that's gathered here in your house today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Let's bow for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.